Hey there, welcome to Not Crazy and Not Alone,
a podcast where we talk about real life and real struggles,
and where we check ourselves against God's word to make sure we're not just surviving, but thriving. I'm Liz.
And I'm Queenie. And we're here to help each other and you develop a functional faith so that we can move forward understanding that we are not crazy and not alone.
Because God's got us and he's given us each other.
Let's get into it.
Welcome, welcome. So we are back for another conversation for Not Crazy and Not Alone. Our tech is not working. There we go. We started this conversation series in February because we wanted to connect and support women balancing work, home life, and all the things during the pandemic and also beyond. We know that once this pandemic gets to some sort of a stable situation, we're still going to have all these things that we juggle as women. So we want to provide a space, and we want to encourage women to give themselves permission to try different strategies for whatever they're going through and methods for surviving and thriving. And also not to get bogged down in what might be working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I am Liz Lawson Young. I'm the owner of LLY Communications,
and this is Queenie.
And I am Queenie. So again, just to highlight, we are not here to judge or shame other women. How they choose to survive is their own business. So let them do them, right? But we are here to encourage women to try new things and to find new strategies. This whole idea was taken from a line in Tiffany Dufu's book, Drop the Ball. And so it's morphed into this conversation for women to just come together, empower each other, love on each other for an hour or so, okay? So today's conversation, as Liz already has mentioned, is surrounding health, mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. Thanks for joining the conversation.
That's right. And so we have invited some guests who are specialists in various fields related to health, and we're very excited to talk to you ladies. So we're going to start with introductions. Tony, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you for inviting me and being here to talk about mental health and all things health. But I'm a I'm Tony Latham. I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Michigan. Hopefully I'll be licensed in Georgia next month. That process, I'm a national certified counselor. Along with that, my full-time work, I work for a university of Georgia as a career consultant. So just helping students navigate through choosing their careers and just getting on that career path. I am a single mom of a toddler who is a seeker. I call her a seeker because she seeks all types of excitement and dangerous things. always chasing after her. I feel like my health has improved in so many different ways as far as being a parent and then also just working in the professional career field. I do have my own business as well. It's not going to launch till to the summer, but it's Vision & You Consulting LLC. So I will be working on counseling and coaching with that business. So
awesome! Right. Well, welcome. Thank you so much. All right, Carmen.
Hello. I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much, Liz and Queenie, for the invite. And I'm always excited to talk about ways to help others, especially women, in regards to health, fitness, everything health, like Tony said. I am the owner of Fit Bella V, which is about fitness and wellness. I am a certified personal trainer with a specialty in nutrition. I'm certified in BAR. I have a group certification from the YMCA of America and CPR certified, all that good stuff. Zumba licensed, and the list goes on. But I also am the strategic engagement manager for Big Brothers Big Sisters. So I own my own business. I also contract with a local nonprofit, so I do some contractual work as well. And I'm a full-time working from home mama. And I have a partner that also, he helps me out here. And I have, you know, my 2-year-old, like Tony, little guy, and a 13-year-old. And you know, that's very two different spectrums. So yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Bethany.
Hi, my name is Bethany Frazier. I am a registered dietitian and owner of the Kansas City Dietitian. So I'm located in Kansas City on the Kansas side. And I specialize in digestive wellness. So I spend a lot of my days talking about poop. I have three small children, so that doubles back on itself. So I have a 6-year-old daughter, and then I have a 3-year-old son, and then I have April 6th, I had my baby turned 1. So I had a pandemic baby too, which was lots of extra fun. I'm running my own business
right now. Really fun. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we stay busy over here, and we're just always running.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. And we're excited to get to the questions, and we'll also be monitoring on Facebook too. So if anybody watching on Facebook has questions, just drop them in the chat, and we're monitoring that as well, so we can make sure to answer those. All right. Question number one.
All right. So how do you maintain or preserve health during a pandemic?
Absolutely. So for me, one thing I didn't say is since the pandemic is we have been working remote. So being at home, trying to work and tend to a child, you know, thankfully I have a wonderful child care giver, which is my mother here. But there is also some like challenges as far as my child knowing that I'm at home,
but
not available. So for me, one thing that I've really have to kind of go through some questioning in the morning. It's like, why am I getting up? What am I getting up to do? Kind of going through like, how am I going to get it done? So asking myself the questions. A lot of times with my answers, it's for my child. I know it's for me, but it may be just being a new parent. I'm always thinking about, okay, what do I have to do and how am I going to get it done? And she does factor into a lot of my what's and my whys. Say for this year with 2021 and even 2020, like just even if it's the smallest thing of getting up and I'm awake and I'm alive, because that's not for every, you know, that hasn't been the case for a lot of people these days, but I'm in good health. It's not perfect, it always needs work. Just asking myself those questions and being grateful for those, that blessing of the morning. So yeah, what's the positive of me getting up today? Why is it just going to be important for me to keep my physical and mental health going throughout the day? And just thinking about, okay, what's the new thing today that's waking me up and keeping me going every morning? So just kind of asking myself those questions to definitely get through. And this is something I share with my clients too, is, you know, every day, set a word that's intentional. Like, what are you going to do today? Like, what is that word? Is it focus? Is it be patient? Maybe add some excitement into today's, you know, day, but just choosing a word for the day and being intentional about it.
Awesome. I like that. I am taking notes too. I'm a huge note taker. So I'm going to take notes. And we also like to put back a clip, you know, over the next couple of weeks, we'll review kind of what you guys said to make sure that we are adding those as resources for people who found what you said helpful. So thank you so much, Toni. Carmen.
Carmen, I think you're muted.
How I've maintained my health, I would say that my health has improved over the pandemic. When it first hit, I had really, really high anxiety. I think honestly, in January 2020, I might have had the first bout of COVID that would have considered me kind of like the long hauler. So I was fatigued, my iron levels were plummeted, like just a ton of stuff I could go on and on about. How I was feeling. I did not feel like myself. And my 13-year-old, then she was 12, was having some major mental health challenges. I was just off of breastfeeding. December was when I breastfed for 15 months, working full time. So I was in a rough spot around this time last year. And I have that phenomenon, Toni, you probably know exactly what it is, where I take on stress physically because I'm so headstrong that I focus and I'm able to continue to push forward. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I feel weak. Oh, I don't feel right. You know, then my body starts to react. So I have done an array of things spiritually. I have done some Reiki sessions, had some spiritual counseling, had therapy, listened to my body, which I wasn't always real good at. So my exercise was based on my menstrual cycle. A good friend of mine, who's also my chiropractor, Kate Antonati here, stimulated that thinking in terms of basing my physical activity on my menstrual cycle. And that has been huge. I also have done some journaling, some tracking, so that I don't feel crazy. You know, I look back at day 5 before I ovulate, how was I feeling last month? And I'm like, oh, I'm not crazy. I felt the same way. So, you know, I'm looking at all these different things, utilizing resources, and exercise was a major part of it. I couldn't do anything else, yoga or walking. Leaning on friends, keeping my circle tight and eliminating some relationships that may have been toxic, minimizing, you know, even minimizing what I take in. I don't watch violence in blood and gore. My spirit wasn't able to handle it. So I did a buffet of different things to help maintain my health. And, you know, Queenie and Liz know that I'm very transparent. I'm okay with saying I'm strong. I'm very strong, but I'm also human. So I need a little bit of everything, you know, a lot of different nuggets. And my job and my hope is to share them so other people can work through, you know, life, because life is definitely challenging. But also, like Tony said, yeah, living in gratitude, those days when I was like, man, I have to live in gratitude. And I really have to live in gratitude. And like when I can't sleep at night, I turn my Bible app on and I let the narrator read the Bible to me while I'm asleep, you know, and it puts me to sleep every time. Yeah. So it's just like, I have, you know, I meditate. Mm-hmm. It's like, whatever's working today might not work tomorrow. So I'd be like, Tony, what else should I do?
Right. Adding to that, like, tool belt of things.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yes. What?
I love that you mentioned the Bible app too, Carmen. That is my go-to. As soon as I turn it on,
I'm out. In the shower, play.
So good.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned too, like building things around, like your cycle. We're women and this is for women. So we need to talk about that. And I'm excited to hear Bethany talk to, give your own answers, but I also know that you have some of that, on the nutrition side, understanding of like how hormones kind of affect our health and moving forward. So, Bethany, why don't you tell us your answer to how do you maintain or preserve your health during the pandemic?
Mine is a little bit like most of my pandemic experience has been either being pregnant or being postpartum. So, because we were 2 weeks into the lockdown when I had my baby. So I feel like that is a big piece of what health actually looked like and challenging what health actually looked like, because being a slight bit older than I was with my first child and a little bit older than I was with my second child, like I feel like this pregnancy really almost did me in. and then on top of that, just the stress of the pandemic and the unknowns with pregnancy hormones and all that, I was like a wreck. So I survived. Liz sent me donuts and that really was my saving grace. Maybe that was how I maintained health. I got donuts. But I do feel like just challenging some of that. And from like when I had enough sleep that I could put two words together, not a sentence, just two words together, that was when I started to think like, okay, I don't feel great. What can I do? And that's just getting out of that cycle of no one felt great. I don't think anyone felt great. But you still have to see what can you do? Like you were talking about, Carmen, like what works might not work the next day. And what little pieces can I put together to make me feel or help me feel, support me feel a little better. And some of the things that I feel like really helped me, and they're simple things, because I, as a dietitian, of course, I feel like once you know some stuff, you can't unknow it. And as far as nutrition and how it supports you, but one of the big pieces that I thought was important, or that I noticed like I needed to set really small realistic goals for myself, and one of, I remember back in whenever it was, my husband was doing a lot of the cooking, and so that helped. But one of the goals, he's just not the healthiest cook. And so one of my goals was I just tried to get like one cup of leafy greens a day. I didn't need to eat vegetables at every single meal. I just tried to get one a day. And that made me feel even mentally that I was making a little progress. And that helped me kind of start to move towards, okay, I can do this. I can balance having 3 children. I can balance still working and not sleeping through the night and all of that. And so I feel like that helped a lot Eating breakfast also was like a great jumpstart for me, just because each day looks the same. And so that we never thought that one of our definitions between days would be like, did I put on pants today? But working from home, most of us don't. So having breakfast at least says, and with having a newborn, you're like, is it morning? I don't know what time it is. So I feel like that helped a little bit too. And just trying to, as we've gotten further now, like a year out, I still put like a heavy emphasis on like trying to get sleep and trying to move my body. And it doesn't look exactly like it did a year ago or 2 years ago, but I do feel like just those small goals have helped me not get so bogged down in like the big picture of what's going on in 2020 and in the pandemic and everything else.
Yeah, that's so great. I like that, the idea of like making that small progress and not getting down on ourselves, because that just adds more stress mentally. Mm-hmm. So the next question is, what have you noticed about your health during this time? And maybe even like when you have those things that you start to notice, how do you offer yourself some grace in that, right? Because like you said, today doesn't look the same as last year. Today doesn't even look the same. Well, it might look the same as yesterday because we're in a pandemic, but you know, what have you noticed about your health during this year of the pandemic? Tony?
Yeah, I would say just like Carmen, I'm surprised that it improved over the pandemic. Honestly, it's not something that I actually focused on.
Yeah.
Over time, like even within that year, I lost, even probably less than a year, I lost 30 pounds, not thinking about, you know, what was happening. But I attribute it to, you know, we are in the house, yes, but there are some ways to get out. Luckily, I live in a place where there is some nice weather sometimes. And so now during my meetings, I get to go outside and walk during a meeting if I don't have to, you know, be engaged on the computer. So then let me get out and walk during this time. Just trying to figure out, like, before I was in the office, in that hour, you know, I'm having lunch, I'm trying to do other things, but really focusing in on my lunch hour now.
Yeah.
I'm at home, I can quickly prepare a meal, it's ready. Yeah. That I can spend the other, you know, 20 minutes doing some stretching or doing some meditation, doing something that is, you know, very health related, and providing a little bit of self-care in between the day. Because as I said, as a single parent, I just don't get that off time. Always, you know, getting an additional break. I feel like Bethany might have just traumatized me to remember in the first no sleep. So I am very grateful for my sleep these days. Not waking up every few hours to feed and to where, you know, she sleeps in a little bit. So very appreciative of that. But it improved, which is very shocking, that just being able to multitask. And I think also just being home and seeing my daughter do some milestones that I would have seen had I been in the office.
Yeah.
And I think another thing is noise. The noise level is different at home being in the office, so that, you know, always hearing somebody walk up and down the halls, hearing the copier, hearing phones ringing, hearing, you know, a lot of conversations and different things going on. It definitely has been reduced, or maybe changed at home, their screens, but it's not constant. And so I think also like the noise level has attributed to me just having a little bit of improved health.
Yeah,
that's great. That's something I never even thought about.
Yeah, I didn't either. When you said that, I'm like, oh man. I mean, I have three boys at home, so the noise level is like kind of quieter here in my office.
I will just add to what Carmen said. It's like during the pandemic, you do have to like tack on, add on all the self-care things that you can add on, because what might have worked was fine before because we weren't in a pandemic.
Right.
Now that we're in a pandemic, sometimes I do have to stack on all my health options.
Yeah.
Because this day is rough. And
pull out all the tools.
I need to pull out all my tools to get through it. So
yeah, for sure.
Okay.
All right, Carmen.
My health over the course of the pandemic, I think I said that it improved during this time. One, my spiritual health. I have never prayed so hard in my entire life and so consistently in my entire life. Mm-hmm. So my spiritual health has definitely improved a great deal, which then trickles down into everything else for me. And I think, like Tony was saying, in terms of I'm a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. So I've had trouble saying no my entire life, which I think I'm pretty darn, I'm getting good at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing a lot better. So anyway, that goes to say, like, I didn't feel as much pull because nobody expected me to come anywhere. There was no expectations. And even just being Black and making sure I show up and I look good when I show up, I look professional. And it's not just, I know other women have that pressure too, but Black women, as a Black woman, it's almost like if I have to be a step above what everybody else is, because it's way more noticeable.
Yep.
That pressure not to get dressed and not to, is this too tight? Do my legs, is my butt too pronounced in these pants? That pressure helped a lot. But again, it kind of balanced out a little bit because anxiety was so high. But over the course of the pandemic, with the spiritual work and the practices of all those different tools, it has helped me calm down immensely. And, you know, I'm drinking matcha tea. I take L-theanine if I need to. Again, nutrition, like Bethany said, is huge. It's huge. So all the things, like all of it ties into each other. It has definitely improved over the course of the pandemic, and I'm very grateful for that. But again, it has done a lot of reflection and internal work to get there, and being on people asking for help, and utilizing my resources. And I really want to say that I feel very fortunate to have a treadmill in my basement, to have a Peloton bike, because when it is winter time, I don't do as well in that cold weather. My lungs don't really like it that much. Liz, I know your lungs don't like it. So just being able to, I don't take any of that for granted, to be able to work from home, you know, without worrying about internet service or paying for it. I don't take any of that for granted. So that helps keep me going too, as being an example and utilizing my resources. Cause not everybody is, I don't want to say fortunate enough. I feel like that's a judgment word. Cause some people might be poor and happy, happier than me. Yeah. But I would say that for me, it's truly a blessing.
Yeah. I like what you said about boundaries, about the pandemic helping you, because I feel that way too. And now that people are starting to do things again, and I'm like, I'm really good at saying no now, because I'm not going to go to that. And so I agree. I think that's been really, really good for me too. As you know, previous, I'd feel so guilty about saying no, even though I don't want to go. Now I'm like, I'm not going. So I agree.
The extrovert ones though, we are struggling. Can we open things? Can we hang out? No. Can we please hang out?
Go for a walk.
We can't. And no, I don't want another Zoom meeting. We're done here. So good. All right, Bethany.
Well, I definitely noticed, I think the big thing that I noticed was that I'm not as young as I used to be. And I think if I would have been living in a pandemic when I was like in college, I would have not been as stressed. I would have been able to bounce back.
I do think it's important to note that your birthday was 2 days ago.
Yes,
happy birthday. We will not say your age. We're not going to give that away. Happy birthday.
Very old. That's all you need to know. Very old.
Late. Don't say that. I turned very old two weeks before you turned very old. So don't say stuff like that.
Late. My oldest, my 6-year-old, she has been telling everyone that I'm 108. So I know. So I'm close to that. Okay, if you're 6 and I'm 108, that says a lot.
Yeah.
Back in Bible times.
Bible times.
I literally was thinking Sarah.
Right. Yeah.
I feel for her. I cannot imagine. That sounds terrible. To birth a child at 100 years old, let alone to be alive at 100 years old, sounds very tiring. So I think that's been one of the big things though that I've noticed, is that I do feel like my resiliency is not as good. Like after having my first baby, I was able to bounce back a lot more. And who knows? I mean, if this wouldn't have happened, like if I would have had a baby in a normal year, then maybe I think I still probably wouldn't have bounced back as much. And it was still a double-edged sword. Like you guys were talking about the introvert, extrovert. I'm definitely an introvert. So that was sometimes good, but sometimes bad. Cause it was like, I didn't have anyone forcing me to get out of the house and do anything. Cause I would just sit there on my Zoom calls for work with pajama pants on, and no one ever knew, and it was fine. But I do think that took a little bit longer. It was good for me because I could be like, oh, here, I have an hour long session with a client. And then I would go feed my baby and put her back to bed. I never had to leave her. I got to see everything. Like you were talking about seeing the milestones, which was really, really special. But it still came at a cost where now, I was allowed to feed into my introvert self a little bit too much at times and not ever have to see anyone and not have some of that encouragement that I would get normally from just being out in the world. Luckily, since it was April, it was like this and the weather was starting to get nicer so we could go outside and do things. But I do think that's one of the things is that I've noticed just as getting older, I can't just go all in like I used to and had to put up some boundaries and say like, nope, I gotta go to bed. I cannot stay up anymore. I have to go to bed. And that has not always come easy, but I think that's been one of the big things that 2020 or pandemic life has taught me is that my sleep is really important. My husband and I were just talking about this last night because I said, I think I'm gonna go to bed. And he was like, okay. He had gone to bed at the same time as me one night and it was like 9:30 or 10. And I said, do you feel like a million bucks the next day? And he said, I think I feel good. And that's like his pattern where he'll go like 2 weeks and stay up till 12 or one every night. And then one night he'll come to bed at the same time as me at like 10-ish and he'll feel great. And then that like charges him through the week. I'm like, I cannot do that. I will feel like a train wreck. And I can't like binge my sleep. I have to be consistent and that really does pay off. Especially if you can't nap during the day, which is not really an option anymore. So my baby's not napping as much. I can't nap as much. And I don't feel like I need to nap as much. I'm far enough out now that I don't feel like if I'm going to nap in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to fall asleep. So
Yeah.
Sometimes still, but try not to do that. Clients don't usually prefer that if I'm like, all right, I'm feeling kind of tired. Do you, are you sure you want me to talk to you about your nutrition?
Yeah, I do think sleep is like one of those things I always say, like, if I have enough sleep, I can do basically anything.
Yeah.
But if I'm not worth much if I don't have that consistent sleep. I think that's a good thing too, is that it's not that binging where you get, you know, 4 to 5 hours of sleep and then you get 1 9-hour night and that fixes everything. Like you've got to do that consistency. I noticed that about myself as well.
So great. Okay. Have some of your personal health goals changed?
I will say they may have changed pretty much the same. I'm always trying to lose weight in some sense or fashion. However, right. I would say one thing that has changed is I'm very intentional about self-care. I think before it just came naturally. I'm going for a pedicure. Like that was normal every 2 week thing. They know I'm coming. I have it together. Then the pandemic hit and it was like, it's been like 6 months.
Exactly.
I'm really going to enjoy this pedicure. And so if I'm going to go less often, then I can go ahead and splurge for the deluxe option.
Right.
Maybe I can add some designs in this time. Yeah. But I think it's like really enjoying it and really paying attention to like, okay, I hope they're a little bit busy so I can sit in this water, my feet can soak in this water a little bit. Maybe they'll, you know, I'll get a guy and he'll just do this long massage, you know, that I didn't pay for, but he'll just go over and above for me. But I think it's just like being really intentional with the self-care options that I do choose. And definitely like enjoying them. Another thing is I started reading more, which you know, going through school, like you read and then you get tired of reading, you get out, or we have to read for our professions, right? And try to get the rest of that. But actually I just dived into some oldies but goodies that just was nothing related to work, profession. And then I read this other book, like All About Love from Bell Hooks. So, diving into some other topics that I'm not forced to read, and then reading out of pleasure. I haven't jumped on the audiobooks track just yet, but I heard like that's great as well. But yeah, that Bible app, we talked about that, Carmen talked about that, but even using that Bible app with your friends and doing some of those plans that you can do with your friend and having those conversations. So that has been good, because each day you have to comment on what you learned from the plan. So just doing those short 3, 5, 7 day plans with a friend has definitely been That something that, as far as personal health goal, that I've been doing throughout the year.
Have you found that since salons and things have been closed, that you're doing more in-home spa days or like trying to pamper yourself more at home?
Absolutely not. I don't want to touch my feet. No, I'm just not great at it.
Absolutely not.
That's someone else's. Absolutely not. That is fair.
I will say I have tackled some YouTube videos though with trying to be there, and I'll say my age, but I'm older too, with the baby, but I'm 39 and I am just now learning how to French braid. So I just bought a mannequin head. So I will say that is another.
It's hard.
I don't know how to do it inverted. So if there are, I'll say any of the Black people who don't know how to braid, I am your friend. I don't know how to French braid.
I will teach you.
That's funny. Awesome. I also like the idea you said of like doing those short plans with a friend, because it is another way. I think we're looking for ways to stay connected, but we get so fatigued. I get super fatigued with like this, like Zooming. So we really appreciate your time on Zoom, because we know that your days are filled with these meetings. And so that's a good way to stay connected, which also helps like our mental health, right? The staying at connection. So I really like that as well. So thank you for sharing.
Okay, Carmen, have some of your personal health goals changed?
Bethany's answer previously kind of was a segue into making sleep a priority since I've had Drew, who's 2.5, that impacted my health. I mean, my sleep. Yeah, my health too. But I never have been like a super great sleeper. So I kind of need that 8 to 9 hour window. So when I have a baby, it definitely throws it off even more. So sleep, I've definitely been making sleep a priority for my health, because I know lack of sleep can also cause hypertension, and it can also, you know, cause increases in cortisol, which cause more belly fat, especially in women. So being that I eat clean and I exercise regularly, and my blood pressure was elevated up in, elevated, not dangerously, but just where I'm usually like, I don't know if you guys know numbers, but I'm usually like on the low end. So like 106 over 70 or something like that, where I was like hovering at like 132 over 92, like just like, yeah. So making sleep a priority. And like I mentioned earlier, listening to my body more, I tend to be able again to push forward and charge through and do HIIT training and all that. And HIIT was not healthy for me. After I had Drew, it wasn't healthy for me in the pandemic. Unless I have a really heavy boost of energy, then I'll do more HIIT training. But it was actually wreaking havoc on my immune system and my energy level. So basing my life around my menstrual cycle, making sleep a priority, and my health was a focus on my exercise. It didn't have anything to do with looking tone or getting my six pack back or anything like that. It was solely like, you doing this so that you can have some good serotonin levels, more epinephrine, oxytocin, however you pronounce it. But yeah, so I changed my focus.
Yeah. Are there any apps in particular that you use to like keep track of your menstrual cycle and then keep track of the workouts that you use? And if so, what are they?
I use, it's so funny, my friend texted me just an hour before this asking about that. I use Glow. I use Glow and I use Fit Our Women. Okay. So Fit Our Women, like it will tell you, okay, you're in stage 3 of your cycle.
Okay.
And this is what you may feel.
Oh.
And it has made me feel so much more normal. It's like, so these things you might be for. Okay. So may experience more cravings. You also may be more immunoprotected.
Yep.
You also, because your blood sugar levels could be changing, that's where the cravings come in. So your blood sugar might drop more. You might also feel more lethargic and you might be more empathetic. So you might cry and be more emotional. So that's Fit Our Women. So I use that one to be, and it's funny because women, I can relate. It's like when we're pregnant or we're on a cycle. I'm not crazy. No, I'm not. I know what I'm feeling. I'm not crazy. Right. But then you look back and was like,
Okay.
So that like really helps me.
because, you know, the other folks in the house would be like, oh, you're tripping right now. Like,
no, I'm normal. You're
the one that has a problem.
You said, right.
Say it again.
So glow and fit our women is the one, the fit our women is the one that goes based on your menstrual cycle. And that app was developed by the trainer for the U.S. World's women's soccer team.
Okay.
And they were trained after they won the Worlds, they were trained based on all of their menstrual cycles. It also tells you when you're more prone to injury.
Yeah.
Focus on recovery. So I think that's so dope. Like,
when you think about seriously the complexity of the human body and like all of the intersectionality between your mental health, your spiritual health, your everything that you eat, like it can't just be one right aspect that you focus in really hard on. It has to be this whole combination of I'm complex. I'm woman. Mm-hmm. I am super complex, and everything has to be 100%. That's really good.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sweating more. My heart rate is increased. Oh, you're ovulating. Oh, you lost your period. Like all this different stuff.
Makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
So good.
Definitely. I know that Bethany has some things. So I don't know if you want to do anything off of that, any responses from that, Bethany, to build on that, or just kind of go into the question yourself of how have some of your personal health goals changed?
Well, yes. I mean, I think our menstrual cycle can tell us a lot about our symptoms and we don't just have to be a slave to our menstrual cycle. There's things that we can do to feel our best when we're on it, for sure. I think that's an important thing because I do feel like I see lots of clients who are like, I don't know, this is just like, we're supposed to just be crazy at this time of the month. And yes, you're going to be prone to be more slightly crazy, but there are things you can do to help support that and not feel like you're always crazy, because we don't want you to feel that bad, because it's not normal to have really painful periods or to be like, literally crazy where you cannot control yourself. That's not normal, as we all can attest to. But we all have friends. I feel like I see people all the time, and we all have friends who are like, oh, it's just normal. This time I'm in my cycle, I do this. I'm like, yeah, that's not normal. Like, let's talk about it. There's things that we should be doing to get you back to normal. And maybe you do just have a little heavier flow or whatever, but yeah. Personal health goals, right?
That's
my personal health goal. I was thinking about this, and my son's my middle one. And when he was born, he was like 6 or 7 months, I ran a half marathon. I don't say that to like toot my own horn. I say that to say that I was literally a crazy person, and it didn't faze me. Like, I did fine with it. I didn't do my best ever. I was a college runner, so I really do like to run. And I feel like that's part of my enjoyment is running. And after this pregnancy, you can't do anything. We can't go anywhere. So running is still like a very safe thing to do. And I like to be on myself, and I like to take a moment away from my children so I can go outside and run and not be around anyone. And I tried to do that. I tried to turn back into training, and I got my app going, and it told me what to do. And this was probably, I'm trying to remember when this was. I don't know. She was probably about the same, probably like 6 or 7 months. Which is normal time to be able to be healthy and train more. And I did a track workout, and that like 24 hours later, I was sitting in bed and I felt great. Like, I was doing way better than my app was telling me I was supposed to do, all this stuff. And I was sitting in bed and I'm like, I don't feel right. Like, something feels funny. And my legs just started shaking. And I mean, it terrified me. I didn't know. It felt like labor shakes. Like, you're going back into labor. I'm going to have another baby right now. And I told my husband, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel good. And I can't get my legs to stop shaking. And I called my sister, who's a doctor. And she was like, if it gets worse, go to the ER, but I think it's going to go away. Like, she had no advice for me. So I of course had to diagnose myself and was like, oh, I know what's wrong with me. I think it was overtraining. Like, I think I just was not quite ready to bounce back. So I think that's how my health goals have changed. Just like kind of you guys have all said, like, it is just a lot more, it's being more well-rounded. Like, maybe someday I'll get to run the half marathon again. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll get to run a mile again. Who knows? But in the meantime, I can still do things that are just switching that mindset. I can still do things that are health promoting. I don't have to eat perfectly. I can still have what I want, and I can be balanced about my exercise. I can say some days I am too tired. I'm just not going to exercise today. And that's fine too. So I think that's part of what this has taught me, is looking at that big picture. I do it all the time for my clients. It's really easy to do it for other people, is to hold up that mirror and say, hey, do you see that what you're doing, you're adding more stress, and exercise can add more stress. And it's easy for me to point out in other people, harder to point out myself, but our bodies will eventually tell us. So I think that's what I've learned, that my health goals have just been a little bit more like, how can I care for myself, like you guys have said, but not, I don't have to have that be my sole purpose, the only thing that I'm working on.
And Bethany,
you and I are wide similar.
Right?
We like twins.
I've definitely experienced a leg shake. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrifying.
I was like, my blood sugar low.
Right. That's
oh, you're overtraining. Your body doesn't like it. Your central nervous system is saying sit down.
Right.
But Bethany, to one of the other points that you made about not necessarily having to eat perfectly, I feel like that's the problem for a lot of women, right? Like, we stress out about, like, did I eat all my greens? Did I eat all my fruits? And like, it becomes overwhelming, so we don't commit to it, right? Yes. Or the same thing about exercising. It's all or nothing, right? I either have to run a marathon or I'm not going to run at all. And so it's like hearing you all say, like, take those little steps gradually and consistently is what leads to overall better health. It's like way more manageable than, did I have 5 smoothies today and 5 gallons of water? And right. like, it's too much, too much. So that's good.
And I think too,
I was just saying, I always tell people, if you fell halfway down the stairs, would you throw yourself the rest of the way? And that's a really easy, like, duh, I'm not going to throw myself the rest of the way down the stairs. But when we're looking at our health, it's like, oh, I screwed up today, I'll just wait and start on Monday. Or, oh, I didn't exercise today, so I'm not going to eat right. Well, each opportunity we have the choice to make a decision that's going to move us towards or away from our goals. And sometimes that goal is just being less stressed. And if that means that we eat something that's convenient because it helps with our stress level, then let's do that. Like, it still can achieve that overarching goal.
Yeah. And I like the focus, because Carmen, you had said that too, like, your health goal wasn't to like get my six pack back or whatever, you know? And I think, and yours, Bethany, wasn't like get my training plan to run a half marathon this year. You know, we've adjusted our goals to serve our bodies better, to serve our minds better, our whole person better. And I think that is a huge thing, because then you don't go all or nothing. You don't say, well, I fell down the stairs, so I'm just going to throw myself the rest of the way. You know, I think those are really good, really, really, really good thoughts. So that kind of leads into, what are the accidental best practices that you have discovered as you're navigating the pandemic, as you're changing your health goals? Like, what have you discovered to be a best practice for you on accident, maybe during this time, that you might carry forward? I mean, we all know that we're patient with ourselves as we discover what we need today versus yesterday and tomorrow. But what are those accidental best practices that you're either still, that you're doing now, that you'll continue to do, or at least that you've found during this pandemic to be helpful? Tony?
Yeah. So if you have one of these, an Apple Watch, Fitbit, I have learned to disconnect and turn off notifications. So I think it was accidental, but it was like, wow, it was, nothing is coming through. How wonderful. But just disconnecting sometimes and making sure what notifications come to my watch and which ones don't, and just being intentional about that. So using the bedtime app. So at a certain time I am disconnected, my phone automatically goes off. It's going to silence. You can contact me, but I'm not available. And that helps with sleep. And then also, I am a texter. I love to text. Since the pandemic, though, I will pick up the phone and talk, because I want to hear your voice. I want to hear how you sound, what's going on, like, what's the background noises, what's happening. I just really need to hear it. Again, we're all Zoom fatigued, so, you know, maybe not FaceTiming as much, but I definitely was a texter. I don't even look at the bill anymore, but I know my numbers were up there as far as my text. But now I actually pick up the phone and talk and have a conversation. So I would say before, that was not my thing. It's very accidental, and I am it now. I'm also an introvert, so you don't have to check on me often. I'm okay in my little hole, but sometimes I do need to come out and talk on the phone. And we are Zoomed out, but I will say, since I moved away from my family and friends that live in Michigan, Zoom parties have been great. We have been connecting and we've been thinking, okay, we could have been doing this.
Right.
Yeah. Like you said, we don't have to get dressed. We don't have to go out. We don't have to get in the car. We don't have to worry about, you know, you have what you need at home, but we are able to have good fun, play games, you know, through Zoom, which is something we probably would have never did before, before COVID, honestly. And it was like, I've been connecting with y'all all this time. I would say Zoom parties, because it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more relaxed versus the Zoom meetings that we always have. But I think those are some of my accidental best practices that I continue to do after the pandemic.
One more question for you, Tony, before we go to Carmen. Well, not one more, but like in addition to this, mm-hmm. have you been incorporating workouts or like health things with your daughter? Have you found that as something that's happened now over COVID?
Yes, I would say I did buy Beachbody. So I do Beachbody at home. We've conquered the 21 day fix.
She did it too?
We were able to keep it to it, yes. And she helps out. So she has a little 2 pound bell that she carries around. she's my workout partner. Sometimes, so we have to pause. So Beachbody has been great for that. But I think that was one of the things I've added on, which I probably wouldn't have did, because I'm at home. When I get home, I'm tired from the day. So you want me to do some workout in the house, and that's another deciding if you can work out in the house or if you need to go to the gym. I've always been that person that goes to the gym. So I always would get up early, figure that out, and go to the gym. And now since that option was taken away, it's like, how can I figure this out at home? Which has changed over years.
Yeah. And the reason that I ask is because for a lot of women, self-care wasn't role modeled, right? That's something that we have to figure out ourselves later in adulthood, 30s, 40s, 50s, right? Now that our bodies are rapidly changing, we're like, what do we do? And so the fact that you are making it a priority for yourself, but also including your daughter is huge, right? Because that's setting her up for success. And that's the next generation of saying, this is how you take care of yourself in a global pandemic and beyond. These are tips that she will take now with her, you know, as she grows up and say like, I can do it in the house or I can do it at the gym. I'm going to make my health a priority. So that's really cool. Really, really cool.
Okay. Yes. And they work out on cocoa melon. So she just,
my kids love that.
So
kids love that. Okay. Carmen, what about you? Accidental best practices.
I'm an extrovert. So Tony, you stimulated my thinking there. Cause I was trying to think like, what have I done in accident? I love my home. The extrovert in me has been like, what word am I looking for? Suppressed quite a bit. I don't want to say suppressed because it's
literally, who am I?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, no, I want to be at home. No, I'm not suppressed. I'm not depressed. I just really like to be in my space. So I am externally motivated. And I also feel like accidentally, it has helped with my creativity, even though that's kind of like, it's kind of like my creativity because of the amount of stress and anxiety was kind of stunted. But I also had to think more creatively in terms of my business. Like, I could have been doing Zoom workouts too. Like, you know, if I was doing Zoom was around in 2016. So when I didn't work for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and I was doing nothing but my business, this could have been a whole nother option. And actually it was presented, but my mind wasn't there because it didn't have to be.
Yeah.
Actually my business partner, best friend, Regina, she was trying to get me to do Zoom workouts when I started, when I just walked out on faith in my business. But now, it forced me to be more creative and also kind of prioritize where I want to put my focus, you know, in terms of, you know, do I want to work all day, all the time? Like every day with 10, 12 hour shifts, work from 9 to 5 with Big Brothers and Sisters, maybe start my day at 7 with a client and my day at 7:30 with a client. It's just like, it's not quality of life. Like, you know, it's too much. So, and like you were saying, Queenie, like, self-care and balance and just demonstrating that for both of my kids. Even Mia being 13, you know, she's still a sponge right now, middle school age. So just making them more of a priority, being more mindful and actually listening and focused. So I would say that was the creativity, and then really tapping into my introverted side. Like, people are like, man, Carmen, you're a homebody now. I'm right. Like,
and I love it. I fully embrace it. I'm like,
so good about it. I feel so good.
It feels so good. Oh, okay. Bethany, what about you? Some accidental practices.
Yeah. So I think not filling my schedule to the brink, we've kind of all said that. That's been a big accidental best practice. Because everyone else has said it, I haven't said it yet. But one of my, since I haven't been training as much, I still try and like walk or run most days. And I switched over. It used to be like, I really needed a really enticing playlist or podcast because I was trying to push myself hard. Well, I'm not doing that anymore. And so I have started, I usually listen to my Bible app in the morning. It doesn't put me to sleep. It charges me up during my workout.
There you go.
The opposite. I feel like that helps me though, just to like set my day, and I'm listening to it while I'm working out, and that helps too. So I feel like that has been one of the things that I really, if I don't work out, then I usually don't do that. And that, then I feel like, oh, I didn't do that yesterday. And I noticed the difference. So that has helped too, an accidental thing that I probably wouldn't have done. Otherwise I probably still would have been just plowing through.
Awesome. So I'm going to change the last question just a little bit because we are at time and we want to respect everyone's time. So instead of the original question is, what are your warning signs and triggers of poor health? And so I think I'd like to change this to get some expertise from each of you in your own area. So what would you say would be some warning signs so that people can self-assess at home, right? So that women can say, if I'm seeing this, I need, that's a warning sign for me. And then maybe just some really simple one or two tips to help bolster your area. So mm-hmm. For Tony, it's mental health, Carmen fitness, and Bethany, it would be our nutrition and the way we eat. So what are some warning signs so people can self-identify maybe that they maybe need to make a little bit of a change? And then what are some like manageable steps that can be taken? Tony, sorry to put you guys on the spot with this one. So hopefully you'll be able to, okay. So Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's been said a little bit too, but it's thinking about your feelings and your emotions mm-hmm. and like how am I actually feeling today? What's going on with me? Am I feeling low? Am I feeling high? Are things not going the way that I want them to go? Do I just need to take a step back and maybe just assess the day? So I think the biggest warning sign is like, what are my feelings? What are my emotions? Is mm-hmm. am I feeling bloated, right? Am I feeling a little bit depressed, or I have some anxieties about some things, and is my mind overthinking? So thinking about some of those, like what are my feelings and emotions, assessing it for the day. Mm-hmm. And then using some of these tips that I've already been shared. So maybe it is, you know, doing a Bible app, maybe it's going for a walk. You know, if I feel bloated, maybe I just need to walk this off a little bit. And I'll feel better. Maybe it's just doing some type of action. Maybe I need to read through my gratitude journal to see what happened the last week that's doing great for me today. Maybe it is doing like a guided meditation, because everyone can't do meditation. But if I guided one on YouTube, it's free. Three, right. You know, it takes me back to focus on what I'm gonna do for my day. So just really listening to your body and your mind, your mental, what's really happening. And then actually, you have to do action. You just have to do action. It can't be sit back and kind of spin it, because it's just going to get worse. But doing some type of action, like I said, even a small one of doing a meditation will get you through and change your thought focus immediately, you know, in that 5 minutes. If all else fails, eat an apple, because when you eat an apple, you're biting into something, you're chewing, it takes your mind away from whatever else you're doing. So some apples in the house, because that's a small little tip from me.
I like that. Perfect. Thank you so much. All right, Carmen.
Love apples. I've been on an apple kick lately. In terms of personal training, the physical aspect of your body, hopefully it won't get as extreme as like Bethany and I, where we wait till our legs are like shivering and like we can't barely stand up. I had a warning sign. I had COVID earlier this month. And so as I'm recovering, my quads are still kind of like, So before it even gets to that point assess how you feel after you exercise, you should feel energized. You should not feel drained, especially in this current climate. So immediately following, you should see it. You should feel a lift in your mood. You might get a little boost, like, oh, I'm gonna clean the kitchen now. If you come out of working out and you're feeling like drained and tired, you did too much. It shouldn't, again, in this current climate, it shouldn't pull your energy down like that. So that's, to me, is a clear warning sign. Also assess how you feel when you wake up. Are you energized? Women, you can go based on your menstrual cycle and based on how you feel. Ultimately, it's how you feel.
Yeah.
Because even like Bethany was saying earlier about, you don't have to, it's not normal to feel horrible during your cycle. That's not normal and that's not okay. And so during the time when you are, you know, bleeding, go based on your energy. So that's actually the best time to do HIIT training. If you wake up and you feel good, do some HIIT training.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. But if you wake up and you're feeling drained, but you still feel like you need something, go for a slow walk or do some yoga, do something based on your energy level more than anything. So start there.
Awesome. Thanks so much. All right, Bethany?
Well, she talked about bleeding, so I'm going to talk about poop.
Okay, good. You're here for all of it.
Please tell us.
And bloating. You guys are all right, perfectly lead up. I do feel like it's pretty important to pay attention to your digestion. It's my favorite subject. And so paying attention to how often you're having a bowel movement when you're extra stressed. Everyone has a propensity to go one way or the other. Either they're going to have loose stools or they're going to have constipation, depending on travel and stress. And so paying attention to that can still be one signal that our body is trying to say, like, hey, pay attention to me. And so using that as a trigger to say, like, okay, I need to go back to the basics. Try that first. Like, how is my nutrition? How is my sleep? How is my stress level? What can I do? You guys all said it in a perfect way. I think the easiest free tip you can do to work on your digestion every single day is before your meal is to do a round of breathing exercises. We're all used to like running that marathon all day long, or maybe not literally, only me literally, but all of us, it sounds like, are used to doing that crazy, you live a crazy life, and then you sit down and your body is supposed to rest and digest, and we're not doing that. So our body's like, hey, why do you want me to slow down and digest? I'm still running that marathon. So doing a round of breathing exercises, which can be as simple as breathing in for 10, breathing out for 10. Or my favorite is like the 4-7-8, because it causes a little bit of intentionality.
Yeah.
So doing that puts a line in the sand that says what I was doing before me running a marathon is different than what I'm doing now. And my favorite way to do that with my family is, you know, you sit everyone at the table, hopefully that's also part of good digestion, sit down at a table, sit at the table. And when you sit down, while everyone's like taking their first bite before they can be like, this is gross, I hate this, I'm not hungry, I'm going to go run around, be a crazy person, before they can do that, then you do your round of breathing exercises while they're sitting around and taking their first bites. And that way you're prepared for when they start saying, maybe it's just me, maybe my kids are, well, it probably is just me. My kids are the only ones that are like, I hate this, I don't want to eat, I'm not hungry, I'm gonna go do something crazy. So I do feel like that's my favorite free tip that everyone can do, is do some breathing exercises. It's good for your digestion. It helps to release some of that stress that could influence your bowels and how you absorb your nutrients. So all of that together kind of puts it perfectly.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's such a great conversation.
All right, ladies. Thank you. Thank you for just hopping on with us today and having a conversation about health.
Thank y'all so much for listening to this episode of Not Crazy and Not Alone.
We hope you feel seen and encouraged.
But most of all, we pray that it pointed you to Jesus
and help you form a more functional faith.
Bye, y'all.